Welcome to Tape 3, Resolving Resentment. In the following tape, we will listen to Brian Klimmer as he discusses one of the most important obstacles to remove so we can reach our goals, resolving resentment. As you begin to listen to this tape, recall your attitude and point of view when you attended your first Psi Basic Seminar, and take note of the progress you've made towards handling this fundamental program. And as the tape progresses, bring to mind areas or circumstances in your life that you would like to change to a more positive outcome. We include this section of the seminar in our tape presentation as a reminder to look inside ourselves to resolve upsets and negative reactions, rather than to assign responsibility elsewhere. Let's join Brian already well into a Friday evening of Psi Basic. So relax, listen closely, be here now, and be open to solutions.
The thing to do with that is to ask ourselves why. Upset. We're going to shift gears, all right? We're going to leave the memory pegs behind for a second, all right? We're going to jump to upset. What we're going to talk about is a program, a major, major program. Odds are the most powerful program that's run in our life, your life, my life. And it has to deal with upset. In fact, let's do it this way. How would you like to discover in the next few minutes the main reason why you're not getting more of what you want out of life? This idea, this program, this thought process we're going to talk about is the major reason, it's the root behind all divorce. And I know there are people in this room, just odds on the size of this group, that have been through divorce. And the reason for it is this thought process. It's the major reason why people aren't making more money. No matter what level we're at with money, it's the main reason why we aren't making more. It's the main reason why there's loneliness in the world. It's the main reason why there's sickness. In fact, I mentioned a fellow the other day, Carl Symington, about cancer. This is, according to his discoveries, this thought process is behind it. In fact, this thought process is literally like amputating a part of the body. How's that? Every time we do this thought process, it's like amputating part of the body. Now, what wise person would do that? We're all intelligent people here. So you'd think that, well, if it's amputating part of the body, we wouldn't do it. But the truth of the matter is, everybody in this room has been in this thought process today. Today. And some people have even been in this thought process in the last hour and a half since you've been in the room. And yet we're all intelligent people. Why is that? One of the reasons is we don't associate this thought process with the damage that's being done. It's like we got our, what's that old saying about the forest and the trees? We got our nose right up against the tree and we can't see the forest. Part of this thought process, although it's very serious, it's going to be funny to you. You're going to go home to your families and you're going to see it happening all over your families. You're going to go to your businesses on Monday and you're going to see it all over the business. And it's costing money. Huge amounts of money. It's enormous. Now, what we call this thought process is the 3 R's. You might want to write that down, 3 R's. And it's a program. It's not reading, writing, arithmetic, but it's just as important. In fact, someday, this is going to be taught in every classroom, in every school in the country. Some people here are even working on seeing that happen. There's a gal named Lulu Lopez who's pretty high up in the educational system here in LA, and she's working on the LA Unified School District Superintendent to take this class because she's got a dream of having a lot of the Psi ideas taught right in the school system, and it'll happen. She's a go-getter. In fact, it was kind of funny. I mentioned that in the last class here, and another re-audit who's a pretty well-known attorney, said, "Why, gosh, the school superintendent is my next-door neighbor. Let's work on them together." Right? 3 R's. What are the 3 R's? First thing about the 3 R's, even before I tell you what they are, you want to put something in your notes right by the 3 R's. Put a key by it, because this is a key to this whole thought process. That's a key, by the way. It is. You might want to use a star or circle this idea, but the three R's is self-destructive. To give you an idea of how damaging it is the only negative thought process we go into in all of Psi Basic. We go into everything else is positive oriented. However, if we didn't give you this, I'll tell you what would happen. You'd go out of here, you'd be practicing screen of the mind, you'd be practicing the cycles, you wouldn't necessarily be getting the results you'd be expecting. You'd say, well, why not? And the reason would be this thought process. In fact, a lot of times I'll sit with graduates, like maybe Dan will be up in front of the room, or Friday during the day I'll meet with graduates and I'll say, how's it going? And not all the time with all Psi graduates is everything going positive. Sometimes because they over-risked, right? Or sometimes because of this thought process. In fact, 9 times out of 10, if things aren't going like they'd want, I'll ask them, how about the three R's? And they'll go like that, that they know they've been in it. What do the three R's stand for? The first R stands for resentment. That's the upset we were going to talk about. Resentment. Now, we're going to define it so that all of us are more communicating the same thing. Because you may have an idea of resentment, I may have an idea, but so that we're all communicating the same thing. Resentment is any negative emotional reaction. Any negative emotional reaction to what we think was said or done. So it doesn't even have to be to reality. Any negative emotional reaction. That could be frustration, that could be jealousy, that could be anger, could be a whole bunch of things, right? How many people have ever been cut off on a freeway before? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, in L.A. here, that's got to have happened, to, right?
Today,
all right? So what do we do here in Long Beach, right, when we get cut off? We probably pull up alongside of them, roll down our window, and go, hi! How are you doing? I'm glad you came so close to me. You know, I don't have any friends here in Long Beach. I don't really know anybody. Why don't you come over and meet the wife and kids? I got a couple extra steaks and beer in the refrigerator. No, that's not what you do. Yeah, give them the high sign, right? Flip them half the peace sign, right? And it's not this finger. Right? You know the old peace sign, right? Reduce their whole anatomy to one small physical part. You talk about their parents or lack of. If not verbally, up here. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's resentment. That's what we're talking about. Now, in and of itself, resentment is not damaging. By itself, resentment is not destructive to us. The problem with resentment is that resentment is the button on this program. It's like we were talking computers the other day. When we press a button on a program in a computer, the whole printout runs, right? Unless we abort it or stop it. And that's the problem here. Unless we handle the resentment, it's pressing the button, the whole program runs. And that's where the damage is done, is when the rest of the program runs. The second R, which happens automatically right after it, the second R stands for resistance. And the way we just define resistance is the cutting off of communication. That's when you're putting up barriers between you and somebody else. You're building brick walls between you and somebody else. In fact, let's do something here. Let's have everybody stand up for a second. Put your notebooks on a chair. Turn and face a partner. So you've got a partner right now, somebody that's standing right next to you. And can I borrow Dick for a second here?
Yeah.
Dick, would you come up here for a... If I can have your attention, please. If I can have your attention, in a moment, everybody's going to have a partner, and I'm going to ask you to assume the position. When I say that, what I'd like you to do is that both of you hold your hands up in the air, if you hold your hand up in the air, and grasp your arm, much like the old arm wrestling things you used to do as a kid. Then I'm going to say go. When I say go, the object for both people is to put your own hand and the partner's hand on their shoulder. All right, assume the position. On your mark, get set, go.
I can do it.
Okay, stop! Stop! Okay, have a seat. Great. Dick, can I borrow you again up here? Now, if you give me your attention here for a second. What happened for many people was I said, assume the position, they got like this, and then I said, go, all right, and it went something like this, right there, fighting there, where's it, right? That's what happened for many people. They didn't think about it. That's just what they did. They didn't choose. That's just what they did. When there's a lot of other options, they could have done one, it went something like this. Now, how many times does he win? How many times do I win? A whole bunch this way. Now, why did it happen the reverse? It happened because it was automatic. When you and I were 1, 2, 3 years old, somebody pushed on us, and we got programmed in that the only way to survive is to push back. It's a thing called resistance. It's when I say something, you get upset, and you tune me out. You build a wall between me and you. Just because I say something you don't like. It's at home, the husband rolls over to one side of the bed and the wife rolls over to the other side of the bed. And they aren't talking to each other. That's what we're talking about. I know, that never happens for you, but it's happened for me, all right? It's at work. When one coworker gets upset at another coworker and they stop talking to each other. That's resistance. It's putting up a wall between two people. Or when maybe they are talking, but they ain't listening. They've tuned each other out and they're just yelling at each other. Have you seen something like that? It's the same thing. And the point is, it's automatic. You don't think about it. It's automatic. Now, the second part is, let me borrow Dick again and Troy. And Troy, if you bring your chair up here. Why don't you put your chair down here, Troy? And if you'll sit in the chair, just do it this way so that Dick's standing behind you. All right. Okay. Now, put up your arms. Put up your hands. All right. Yeah, put them out a little further in front of you. There you go. Great. Now, do you notice something? What's he doing? We just talked about resistance, and yet it is so automatic. I didn't say push back, I just said put up your hands. And yet the minute I start pushing on him, he pushes back. It is so ingrained. My four-year-old's got this down pat. I mean, we learn it, and it is so ingrained that later on in life, we're 20, 30, 40, 50 years older, we're still being victim to this same program. And it's running our marriage. It's running our business. I've seen sales go down the tubes countless times. The salesperson gets frustrated with the client, right? And they blow it. Or the client, just like that behavior matrix, they get upset at the salesperson. They won't even buy a product they want. A husband and wife that love each other very, very deeply go to sleep not talking to each other. Because they're not in control of their life. A program called the Three R's is running the life. Now, here's the kicker, right? Resist again, just like you did before. And Dick, you step back just a little bit, all right? Now, who's in control of this situation? I am, totally. When we resist, we give up all control. When we resist, we give up control. What do you want more of in your life? More control, then we need to learn to stop resisting. A master said it 2,000 years ago. He said, resist not evil. Maybe he knew what he was talking about. Now, there's nobody in this, I won't say nobody. We may have some people, either teenagers or somebody that's being physically abused, maybe, but very little at our stage in life are we being physically pushed around. Right? That doesn't happen to too many people in this room. But there's nobody in this room that can tell me they emotionally haven't been pushed around or mentally haven't been pushed around in, say, just the last week. And the question is, what do we do? 9 times out of 10, we don't think, we don't choose, we're victim to a program, and we just push back, and then we give up control. Why do you think our kids get us mad? They get control, and they know it. I mean, not up here, they know it. It's just learned. I got a man. Got him now. That's why people do it to us at work. Now, don't resist at all. Just go totally limp on torque, right? Just go totally limp. That's it, right. Now who's got control? He does. Now I'm going to fall over, right? Or what I'll do is I'll go, this isn't any fun. I'll go over to somebody else. In fact, you try this out at work on Monday. You have somebody that's always rubbing you the wrong way. Try not resisting. One of two things will happen. One of two things will happen. One thing that'll happen is they'll stop pushing on you and go to somebody else. Or, and I'll warn you ahead of time, what may happen is that's very threatening to them. They've had control over you, they know it, and now you're not responding like you normally do, and it scares them. And so what they do is they bang a little harder. It's just like a candy machine. You pull on it, you don't get the candy, you know, then you bang on it. Right? And you see it happen all the time with your kids. You know, they get real, they start yelling and screaming at you, right? And you don't push back at them, they'll throw them for a loop. Then they'll say, oh, that didn't get them? Well, let me try writing on the couch. Now, what we're also saying is not be a doormat. Y'all got what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of people, one of their fears, one of the reasons why they resist is they don't want to be a doormat. And that's not what we're talking about. I mean, those who knew Mr. Wilhite, he was definitely not a doormat. He was a very tough individual. You don't go walking into Hawaii State Prison with a bunch of inmates that just knifed a fella to death the night before without any guards and be a pussycat. He was a very tough individual. But you don't push back like that. Probably the easiest psychopictography, mind pictures. Who studied martial arts here? Anybody study martial arts? Right, like Don or two Dons. Which brand did you study? Karate and Kung Fu, and which one? Like Aikido. I'm not familiar with a lot of them, but a lot of them, Taekwondo, or probably Aikido, or probably the same one. You'd be better to tell me this, but a lot of the martial arts, what they tell you is not to resist. They tell you if there's an oncoming force, let the force go by you. In fact, use that force to lay them on the ground or whatever you're going to do, you know, and then you instead of resisting back. I mean, the same principle is really true in boxing. I used to box, right? You may have noticed, right? It doesn't work boxing either, right? You're supposed to let it go by you, right? And then counterpunch, right? But the idea is we don't just shove back like that, because when we do, we're going to give up control. But that doesn't mean that we're being a pussycat and a doormat. That's not what we're talking about at all. But we can let that go by us, right? And then we'll maintain control of the situation. Now, that's only the second R. The third R is where the real damage is done. And the third R stands for revenge. Revenge is the get back. That's settling the score. Only you can't settle the score. Someone who's looking to settle the score is ignorant of the way the world works. They think they can settle the score because they think they've gotten away with something. But you can't. I mean, we were talking the other night about as you sow, so shall you reap. Right? How many people have heard that? Right? Or on the street, it was said the same way. It was just said a different way. Right? It said what goes around comes around. Right? That's the way it was said on the street. The same exact thing. I mean, the philosophy's everywhere. What you put out is what you get back. So when we do revenge against somebody, it's like picking up the phone and saying, hey, send me 10 cases of revenge. Sounds dumb, but that's exactly what it's like. But the problem is, and why most people don't follow that philosophy, is they do something and it appears they're getting away with it. Like they cheat on income taxes and they're not caught by the government. Right? You all got the picture? And they think that they've gotten away with it. Or at work, how could you do the three R's at work? Let's get real for a second. Like, how could you do revenge at work? Steal. That's $1 billion. Employee theft is $1 billion problem today in America alone. It's incredible. I'll just take these pens. They owe it to me. They won't miss them. What other ways could you do revenge? The important thing is translate, right? How could you do revenge at work? Yeah, not give messages. That's a good one, right? Get them to take in and then not pass. I forgot, conveniently.
Be lazy.
Be lazy, not put in a full day's work. You know, halftime, but call in sick when we're not really sick. Show up late. There's 1,000 different ways. And maybe we're not caught. Maybe we're not, you know, it's not. And so we think, but the law never says that what you put out, you're going to get back from the same source. The law doesn't say that. The law just says what you put out, you get back. So maybe we cheat on the government. The government doesn't catch us. But maybe we never get the pay raise at work that we think we deserve. And we can't figure it out. And it's because we put the signal out over here and we're just getting paid back from over here. Or maybe we do something. We put our husband or our wife, our spouse down, right? We ridicule them. And maybe we're on top of that situation and they don't ridicule us back. But then maybe we pay for it from our kids. Or maybe at work, somebody's always making fun of us. The law just says what we put out, we get back. It says nothing about coming from the same source. That's why most people have troubles grasping that and working with it in the everyday real world. Right? And you can find this 3 hours happens all the time. It can happen this quick or it can happen over a long time. I mean, imagine this, a little psychopathography, quick story here. And then the point of telling the story is you translate it to work, you translate the family life. We don't have time to go through all the analogies and all the different parts of life. You translate, you'll see how it relates. Right? But imagine Joe Schlutz at work, right? Joe Schlutz goes towards the elevator, right? Like the elevators they got out here. And as he goes to the elevator, all these people inside the elevator are laughing. And then as he approaches, they all go silent. So Joe goes, hey, what's so funny? Let me in. Come on, I want to know what's so funny here. And they go, funny? Nothing's funny. We weren't talking. Now what's Joe thinking? They were talking about me. So now he goes, no, come on, let me in. I really want to know. What was so funny? Now, what were we all talking about? Funny? Talk about? We weren't talking about nothing. Now Joe's thinking, they're not only talking about me, but it's bad. So he says, fine. I don't need people anyway. Presses the button and gets off at the next floor. It's not even his floor. But he's decided he doesn't need people anyway. Cutting himself off from people. The end of the day, Joe goes out in the parking lot. It's been raining all day. I mean, it's really pouring down rain. Just has been raining. Imagine Joe goes out, it's been raining all day, there's puddles all over the place, right? Everything's wet. And as Joe starts driving out of the parking lot, he sees a few of the people that were in the elevator standing on the curb. And normally Joe turns left, but today Joe has this urge to turn right, and he speeds up a little bit as he goes around the corner, splashes their skirts and trousers with all the mud from the puddle. One of the people that was in the elevator sees that it's Joe driving a car. Says, that was Joe. Well, forget his surprise birthday party tomorrow. That's what they were talking about in the elevator. Now, what's obvious is Joe got his revenge, right? Took him all day, but he's got his revenge. He's splattered him with mud. But what's also so is the person standing on the curb got their revenge, too. They went through the whole 3 R's, only they went through it that quick. They said, well, if he'll do that to me, I don't need to give him a gift. I only give to people I love and care about. Just like that. I mean, how many times have we had it where somebody makes an appointment with us, right? You ever had somebody make an appointment with us and then they don't show? Right? So how do we react? We're mad. They didn't show. They're wasting my time. So we go, fine. I won't call them. They'll have to call me. Right? We're in here. Then finally they do call. As soon as they get on the line, start talking. Say, I'll get them. Hang up on that son of a gun, right? I'll get them back, right? Cut them off in mid-sentence, right? We get them back. Happens all the time. Parents and children. Children and children. Co-workers and employees. You see that all over. We could get real serious with this because it is a serious topic, but if we get too serious, then many times we don't really listen to it. We tune it out. It gets too personal. You know what I'm talking about? When something gets, what happens if it gets too personal? We go into resentment. We tune out what's going on, right? In fact, sometimes Thursday, you want a real trip? Come back on a Thursday night. Come back on a Thursday night. It really is it's sad in one point, but another point, it's funny. It's got funny. It's got a humor to it. What you have is you have somebody that's forced here, or they feel forced here. That's what they perceive as reality, although nobody can force us to do anything. But they feel forced, so how do they feel? Resentment. So then they do what? They take a bunch of bananas, they plug them into their ears, and they say, well, I ain't going to listen to what they're saying. I'm not going to learn anything here. Who's paying the price? They are. It's self-destructive. In fact, you even see some people that get so carried away with this, they go all the way to the third stage, and they don't come back. They get the revenge. Well, I'll show them. I'll show the person that invited me here. And that, it's just ignorance. They don't really mean harm by it. It's just like when we get mad, we really don't mean harm. We're just caught up in a program that's running our life. We're not running it. So that's why we point out, we're not doing this so that you can get better at the three R's, right? You all got that? I mean, we're all pretty good at it, right? At least I am. We're just talking about it so that maybe we'll do it less.